he's right here, so. Oh, he topped it. He cold topped it.
Okay. Ready to go. Yeah.
Eight iron.
Oh, he shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Welcome to the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by Kevin and Mark, as always, and we've got a special guest, Mr. Kamayu Johnson. How are we, brother?
Good, good. Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate your time, and let's have a good conversation.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, always a good time on the Bogey Boys podcast. How's things with you at the moment?
Good. The game's good, and just, every day's a grind with golf, and, you got to enjoy the grind if you want to play this game for a living. But, yeah, everything's good. Been down in South Florida working with my coach, and just getting ready for a big summer ahead, a busy schedule, and looking forward to some good golf.
Brilliant. Yeah, well, look, we really appreciate you taking the time to speak to us. Obviously, we know what you're up to. We've been keeping a close eye on you, especially recently. Spent a bit of time on the PGA Tour. Talk us through that whole experience.
Yeah. I mean, it's a amazing learning experience. I mean, I didn't think that, I started playing professional golf probably 4 years ago, and I picked up golf when I was 14 years old, and I'm 26 now, 27 now, actually. And I quit baseball when I was 19. So to be playing to get a chance to play on the PGA Tour in short notice of, my golf career, it was amazing learning experience. I learned so much about my game. I learned so much about, how I can carry myself when things aren't going good as they didn't in my starts. So but it was a great learning experience. You don't know how you're going to play on the PGA Tour until you play on the PGA Tour. And as long as you can, take the learning experience and learn. And the biggest thing that I've learned from playing on the PGA Tour is you have to be intentional, no matter what you're doing. It's intentional practice, intentional shots. And my coach stresses that all the time. It's be intentional. If you can't pull the shot off 10 out of 10 times, then you probably shouldn't be hitting the shot. Or if you think you can pull the shot off 10 out of 10 times, all right, where are you going to miss that? Where are we going to get easy up and down, make easy pars? And, that's what I learned about on the PGA Tour. You have to learn how to do that. You have to learn how to make your mistakes just small. You got to learn how to make them small. And I was having I had a good conversation with Kurt Triplett probably about a couple weeks ago when I was out in Vegas. And he was saying you're good. Your good's good enough to play out there. It's your bad that you need to get up to like reach another level. And so that really struck home for me, and you got the juices flowing and got me motivated to get back to work.
Brilliant. So it's your mistakes that you're making. They've got to be very minimal on the main tour. Yeah.
Exactly. They have to be very small mistakes.
Yeah,
we've actually been talking quite a lot about this, about Scott Fawcett's, the statistic things about all the PGA Tour players. Like, they don't hit the flag every time, but when they go for the birdie holes, and then the other ones, they miss it in the right spots, and it's just ringing home exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I played with Joseph Bramlett the first couple rounds at Honda, and every time he missed the green, he got up and down. It's really missing in the right spots and make it easy up and downs, because you're not, you guys both play golf. You're not going to hit a perfect shot every time, and you're not going to flag stick it every time. So it's really, short game, getting up and down, making putts, making the 5 footers for par, making the 10 footers for par, and just doing the stuff right that you should be doing right, honestly.
That's it. Talk to us a bit about how the opportunity came about then. So how do you get the invitation to the PGA Tour? Because I understand you were due to play a couple of weeks previous to that in the Farmers, was it? But you obviously got struck with COVID and had to pull out.
Yeah. So, I was so blessed to be, to actually be a brand ambassador for Farmers Insurance 2 years ago. And Jeff Daly, who's the CEO there, he's been amazing to Willie and I. He treats us like family. He's opened up more doors for us. And people say, how do you define success, or what success mean to you, or how do you become successful? And it's really relationships. Honestly, it's me meeting Jeff Daly. Jeff Daly introduced me to Bill Powers, who's the CEO of Cambridge Telematics, who I'm also a brand ambassador for. And Chuck Robbins, who's the CEO of Cisco. It's really about building relationships and and being around people that are gonna that care about your success or want to make you successful. So when I became a brand ambassador for Farmers 2 years ago, that really opened the door for me to play, you know, a full schedule of golf. And then the summer right after I became a brand ambassador for Farmers and got some sponsorship money from Farmers, I mean, it kind of freed me up. I had the best summer I've ever had playing golf. And then I won the APGA Tour Championship. And then I got an exemption to the Farmers Insurance Open. Wow. And therefore, I got COVID. But, you know, COVID was a disaster at first, but it was honestly one of the best things that ever happened to me, honestly. It was, you know, my story got out there. I was on the Golf Channel. I was on, you know, Yahoo Sports. My story was everywhere. I was on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt. So it really, really just made my story just become bigger. It made more people take note to, you know, everything that I've been through and just to be where I am today. So it was more of a blessing in disguise, honestly. I believe that everything happens for a reason. And me catching COVID was, you know, something that happened for a reason. And it opened so many more doors that I couldn't even imagine being open at the time. So
like being on this podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just like, you know, people taking note of you, people realizing who you are. And it's just like, you know, people want to have a conversation with you. And I, you know, I'm honored to even be asked to be on podcasts and to tell you guys about my story. It just, you know, it just tells you know, how huge the internet, Instagram, you know, everything is. It's, you know, I had a friend who Monday qualified in the Valspar last week, Michael Vasaki. Look what happened to him. I mean, it's just, it goes to show you how big social media is and how, you know, how there are guys out here that are grinding. And when that big things happen for them, how huge it can get and how big you can blow up. So, it's just, you know, I got the invite into the Farmers Insurance Open, caught COVID. And then, you know, my manager called me, Chris Reimer. He said, hey man, you know, like something's big going to come from this. So just like, you know, I was devastated. You know, my mom got COVID, my grandmother got COVID, and everything was a disaster and everything like that. So my manager's like, dude, just hold tight. You know, something's going to happen, you know. And then I get a call from Ken Kennelly from Honda Classic. Then I get a call from Steve from AT&T Pebble. Then I get a call from Amy Saunders from Bay Hill. And then I get the Corn Ferry Tour event. And then all of that is just like, you know, okay, I didn't play well, but all of that experience that you get, you can only learn from it. It only can make you better if you use it in the right way. And so I learned from it. And then, you know, when I got done with that, you know, all the critics, all the people talking trash, and, you know, some of my friends on their podcast, well, not even my friends, but some people on their podcast that I'm, you know, play golf with all the time, you know, they're talking trash and, you know, maybe he's not fit for this, blah, blah, blah. Maybe, you know, you're not good enough. And then, you know, what really motivated me, and this is crazy, on my last win on the APGA Tour, when I just went out in Vegas, I was on the airplane on the way to Vegas, flying out of Orlando, and I just turned on the TV and the movie Creed. I don't know if you guys ever seen the movie.
Yeah, of course.
The movie Creed was on, and it, you know, I was literally in tears on the plane. Like, you know, because if you watch the movie Creed, you know, he really, you know, got the big fight because of who he was and his name and everything. And nobody really believed in him but his coaches and the people that knew he could fight. And that really motivated me to go into that, you know, the APJ Tour event and just to kind of like, it motivated me to be like, hey, you know, I deserve this. You know, I've worked my behind off to get where I am. You don't just wake up and win golf tournaments. You know, I've won 11 mini tour events and I believe it takes time to be successful. I'm not in a rush to get to the PGA Tour. You know, I'm very patient and if it's meant to be, it'll happen. I'm going to continue to work hard and continue to grind and then, you know, everything will pay off. And so that really motivated me to become better and to be better.
But do you know when you're winning the APGA Tour events and you're going straight into the PGA Tour, it's almost like you're getting thrown in the deep end, aren't you? So the critics that are saying anything, like, are they on the PGA Tour? Like, what, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's funny you should talk about Creed as well, because the guy who plays the part of the boxer, Tony Bellew, he's from our hometown as well.
Liverpool. Oh, yeah, he's from Liverpool, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just find, like, really, you know, I just find things to – to kind of motivate me to kind of be better. And it was just so crazy how I was on the plane and that movie came on, and I was very, very motivated to go out and win. And that's what happened.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Brilliant. Do you know when you were talking about Farmers Insurance? So then do they sponsor you, like, not just like brand ambassador, but they actually actually sponsor you on the tours?
Yeah. They sponsor me on the tours, and they, you know, they, I got car insurance through Farmers and everything. It really kind of frees me up to go out and chase a dream and do what I love to do on a week in and week out.
Amazing. Yeah, that is amazing, because we hear it all the time. We spoke to a number of professionals now, and it's all about the money. On the mini tours, the traveling, and then over in England, when you move up to the Challenge Tour, you're traveling more around Europe then, and obviously then making it onto the European Tour. And each stage that you move up, obviously the entrance fees cost more money, the travel costs, and where you're staying cost more money. So it is really important. Have you found that that's really helped your career then, and helped you perform better as well, having that funding?
Yeah, absolutely. Because before then, I was, you know, calling people up, asking for money. And my uncle owned a cigar lounge in Tallahassee, so we used to pass the hat around to get me to tournaments. And so when that worry kind of goes out of the, you know, you're not playing for a check, you know, you're trying to play to win. And I think that goes into a big part of, you know, me being successful has been a brand ambassador for Farmers.
Amazing, yeah. Well, look, you've set the scene there nicely for us. Obviously, the professional route, it is a route, and obviously we'd be interested to know how your journey started. So how did you get into the game of golf from the very beginning?
Yeah, it's a crazy story. I was 14 years old. I think I was 13 going on 14. And I was, you know, I my grandmother had just moved on to Highland Park Golf Course, and I was actually outside of my, I'm living in these apartments right that borderline the golf course, and I was a baseball player, big baseball player. I didn't quit baseball until I was 19 years old, and I had a passion for baseball, and so my grandmother moved on to the golf course. You know, I think the round at the time at that golf course was like $40, and we, you know, $40 a day, and we couldn't afford that. That was, you know, that wasn't even a thought of mine, is to go and ask my grandmother for $40 to go play golf, because I knew we didn't have it. And so, you know, I was outside of my apartment complex swinging a stick one day, and Jan Arger, who was the GM at Highland Golf Course and still is the GM at Highland Golf Course, she came up to me and she goes, "Do you want to go to the driving range and hit some balls?" And I said, "Absolutely." And so she gave me a 9-iron and a bucket of balls. And you know, that first swing I took and the ball went up in the air, I was like, man, I'm hooked. I don't want to do anything else. You know, I still play baseball, but my love for baseball immediately, like, I want to play golf. I don't even want to play baseball anymore. And so, but I still played baseball until I was 19. And later on that week, she said, "Hey, you know, I see something in you that I don't see in a lot of people, and I want to charge you $1 a day to play golf."
Wow.
And so that's how I was able to play golf, and I stayed at the golf course every day from sunup to sundown to get better. And I really, you know, it was a village who really, you know, raised me and got me to the point to where I am today. It was a family at Holloman, a family in Tallahassee who really, really just kind of poured love and support. And I was an eighth grade dropout. I dropped out of school in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And when I found golf, it was immediately changing my life. I started carrying myself better. I started speaking better. I started hanging around people who I really want to be like. I started being around, you know, mentors that I still have to this day. It was all because of the game of golf. And that's why I say golf is the greatest game ever played, because you don't get that on a football field or a baseball field. Or, I mean, you can get coaches that, you know, your friend and your mentor for a lifetime, but golf is, you meet someone new every day that you're on the golf course. And that was, golf really had a big part of me, you know, changing my life around for the better. And it really, really saved my life. And that's why I'm so passionate about the game.
So, do you know when you were swinging the stick and you're a baseball player, you're swinging it like a golf club?
Yeah, I was swinging like a golf club. We didn't watch golf a lot in my house, but everybody knew who Tiger Woods was. I mean, everybody knew Tiger Woods. Everybody knew Phil Mickelson at the time. I mean, you know, I think this was like 2006 or 7. I started playing golf, and you know, Tiger just won the Masters in 05, and you know, everybody knew. Tiger and I was just literally outside of my apartment complex swinging a stick just like a golf club, and she came over from across the fairway and said, "Hey, you know, I want to send you to the range and hit some balls." So she gave me a 9-iron and a bucket of balls.
Did you never ask her, like, what made her do that day?
It's funny you asked that, because we were having a conversation. I was driving back from South Florida, and she said somebody asked her to do a podcast and speak about our story. And it was like, they kept asking her, well, why did you do it? She was like, I don't know why I did it. I literally just did it. Like, I didn't think about why to do it or how to do it. She was like, I literally just did it. We didn't. And that's our relationship. There's no, like, our relationship's like a mom and son relationship. It's, you know, she showed me tough love. There was no, like, program that she had to follow. I mean, she literally put her job at risk. She didn't tell anybody she was charging me $1 a day to play golf.
Wow.
And so it was like, it was literally all natural. It wasn't nothing, no thought went into it, nothing. Like, she didn't tell anybody she was doing this for me.
To me, it's almost like, as you say, everything happened for a reason, right place, right time. Yeah. I'm just a match of fate. Yeah. And then obviously it's, the way it's actually progressed is just unbelievable, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that.
We're talking about progression, talk us about what happened there. That's so we know why you got into the game and how you got into the game when you started playing. So obviously we know where you are now and what level you're at. So how did it progress to that level, and when did you start realizing, do you know what, I'm really good at this game?
Yeah, so when I started playing, and I was so fortunate to be around a bunch of good players, honestly, in my hometown. Like, you know, my friends, they were members at the country club. Their parents played golf, and they were good at golf. They were really good junior golfers. And so I was, you know, I hung around the Florida A&M golf team. I hung around Florida State. I actually hung around Brooks Koepka, Daniel Berger, Chase Seifert, all those guys a lot.
Wow.
I was a volunteer. Like, later on in my life, when I was like 17 or 18, I became a volunteer at Florida State's golf course to get free golf on a better golf course, because Holloman is a muni golf course. So Florida State was a better golf course to practice at. So I became a volunteer there, and I got a chance to hang around those guys. And I literally just, I mean, you talk to Chase, and I literally just would sit on the range. I wouldn't speak, wouldn't talk, wouldn't ask questions, wouldn't do anything. I would just watch them. I would just watch them play. I would just literally, I would go out when they have like team qualifying. I would just walk with them and see how they play golf. And that's literally what I did on a day in, day out basis. And that's how I think that's how I progressed so fast, because, you know, when you're around good players and you know, that stuff feed off towards you if you really want it, you know? And so one of my good friends, Ben Hunter, he used to always go to New York to caddy in the summer. So I wasn't doing anything. There was no tournaments around Tallahassee. So when I was 21, I moved to New York. I was like, you know what? I'm out of here. Didn't tell anybody. Just went with my friend to New York and caddied and played in the Metropolitan section up there. And then when I was 21, I qualified for the USAM, US Pub Links, and played really good in the Met section. Came runner up in the Westchester Am. And so when that summer was over, I got back and I was like, you know, I want to do this for a living. I just had the time of my life traveling around, you know, the state of New York playing with amateur golf and really play well. I was making really good money in New York. I was making like $400 a day caddying. So that supported my amateur career that summer. Yeah. And so that's what I did. I was like, you know, I didn't have a lot of money coming back. I saved up a little bit of money because all my money really went into my tournament golf and rent and all that. So when I got back, I told my uncle, I was like, hey, you know, I want to turn pro. Like, I don't want to sit around here in Tallahassee and just, you know, hang around college kids and drink and do all that and party, because that's really all there is to do in Tallahassee is to drink and party, because it's a big college. It's a really big college town.
Be perfect.
I'm gonna say, we're on our way.
Exactly. And so my uncle gave me $1,000. He was like, hey, move to New York. I mean, move to Orlando. So I moved down Central Florida, Orlando. And, you know, $1,000 in golf isn't a lot of money. Yeah. And so I really just spent 3 years just calling around, asking people for money, asking people to support my dream and grinding week in and week out on the mini tours down here and had some success and won a couple times on the mini tour. So that made people start believing me more. And then, you know, right before I got the Farmers Insurance deal, this guy, Paul, his name's Paul Dean. He used to be the vice president of this company called Danfoss Turbo Corp in Tallahassee. He was like, you know what? The most I can give you is, he gave me $1,200 a month. And he was like, I want you to, you know, just chase your dream and what I can do for you, I'll do. And he's the reason why I got in front of Jeff Daly, the CEO of Farmers. And so I was telling my story to Jeff Daly, the CEO of Farmers. And that was all because of Paul Dean, who had gave me money to go to California. to even get in front of Jeff Daly. And he gave me $1,200 to go to California. So I went to the California because I went to San Diego because the APGA tour, the tour is also sponsored by Farmers Insurance. And so they have a 27-hole match on Saturday, the same time the PGA Tour is on the South course. The APGA Tour is on the North course playing a 27-hole match. And so I had a press conference, and Jeff Daly walks in, a couple other people from Farmers, and they're listening to my story on the in my press conference on the PGA Tour. Like a week later, I get a call from Jeff Daly. He says, you know, I was so inspired by your story. You know, I love how you speak. I love how you carry yourself. So I'm going to make you a brand ambassador for Farmers, and I'm going to make your worries go away from playing professional golf.
It's amazing.
And I'm just like, you know, I'm like, really? Like, I'm a, you know, because the only player that's sponsored by Farmers Insurance is Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're like, I'm just a mini tour golfer, you know, why, you know, why me? But it was, and a lot of people think it was like, he gave me the brand ambassador a month before George Floyd died. And so a lot of people was like, oh, it's because of, you know, everything that's going on in the country. I was like, no, it happened way before that. Like, you know, they have a lot of history with diversity and inclusion in their company. And, you know, it just so happened that I was, you know, I was telling my story, and he was inspired by my story. Like, he wanted to help me. He wanted to do whatever it took to help me get to the next level.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that really started everything for me. Becoming a brand ambassador for Farmers really started everything for me. It really, you know, it got my story out there. It got who I am as a person and who I am as a golfer out there. It was, you know, I'm very, very, you know, blessed and honored to just even be a part of such a big company.
Was that another like case of right place, right time again when you were giving your story? Was it? Yeah, that's mad, isn't it?
It really is. And then, you know, when I got COVID, it was actually another thing of being in the right place at the right time and surrounding yourself with the right people. You know, my manager calls me up and he goes, Chuck Robbins, who's the CEO of Cisco, his right-hand man just called me, and they want to make you a brand ambassador for Cisco. And I'm like,
billions.
No, you're you're lying to me. And he was like, Chuck Robbins Chuck Robbins called, and he said, hey, he saw your interview on the Golf Channel, and he loves how you carry yourself. He loves how you speak. And he really wants you to be a part of Cisco. And I'm like, awesome. Great. You know? And, so it's, you know, like I said, it's golf. It's literally people helping people. And I live and die by that. I live and die by people helping people because, you know, so many people have helped me get to where I am today, no matter what color it was, white, black, you know, whatever color, you know, woman or a man. It was really been a village who really helped me get to this point in my life today.
That's it. Well, we're exactly the same because we reach out to people and just say, like, we'd love to get your story. And then obviously by them coming on, it like helps us, and then that helps the next generation. So like,
yeah, absolutely.
It's because we spoke to how many people now, 20, 30 or something. And if every single one of them had a different story. So there's like, people think if they don't make it by this age or by this time, it's not going to happen. But it can happen at any age to anyone.
Look at Poulter, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if he would have listened to people,
yeah,
he wouldn't be in Poulter today. You know, mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've had the pleasure of meeting and talking to Poulter, where I actually live right down the street from Poulter in Lake Nona. I don't live in Lake Nona where he lives.
I live
down the street. Yeah, exactly. I live about like 5 minutes from where he lives, and I, you know, have a pleasure of playing out at Lake Nona. And you know, we know some mutual people that know each other, and, you know, he's a prime example of following your dreams and chasing your dreams. Because people are going to tell you who tried to chase their dream and it didn't work out or quit early. They're going to tell you you can't do it. And they're going to, you know, that's just, you know,
yeah.
You don't listen to those type of people.
That's their choice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Definitely.
No, that's it. So moving forward from, jumping back a sec, you know, the mini tours that you're playing, the APGA, it's like inclusive of all like African American. Talk a bit more about that, because we've never really heard of that, to be honest, over there.
Yeah. So it's not really a tour just for, you know, African Americans. It's actually, you know, my best friend Lyndon Lyons, who played at LSU. He's a white guy, and we have a number of white guys that play on the tour. Probably about five or six out of probably a tournament averages around 60 players. It's Hispanics, it's African Americans, it's white people. It's the message of the tour is to just create more diversity in the game. It's to give African Americans a stage to play on and get recognized. And if it wasn't for the APGA Tour, I wouldn't be sponsored by Farmers Insurance, you know, because, you know, APGA Tour was at Torrey Pines of the Farmers Insurance Open, and I met Jeff Daly. So it's a tour that just want to bring more diversity into the game of golf, which I think the golf industry needs, because if the industry grows, then we all grow, and then the game of golf grows, and that's what it's all about. It's all about growing the game. It's all about, and I think, you know, this year COVID was, I know in America it was COVID, the golf benefited so much from COVID.
Like, yeah,
yeah.
It was amazing. I mean, it's unbelievable how much golf. And I think more 8-year-old African-American girls joined the game of golf this year than any other year in the golf history. Wow. And I think that's something to be said. I think that the game is growing. I mean, and I think before COVID, golf courses were closing. You know, the game was declining before COVID. But I think now, you know, golf is in great hands. I think it's growing. I think that, you know, the PGA Tour is involved in so many things, and the PGA of America is involved in so many things to grow the game. And I think that's amazing. And I'm just, you know, honored to be a part of it. And the APGA Tour, you know, benefited from, you know, the PGA Tour giving money to the APGA Tour, Farmers Insurance, and now Cisco is involved with the APGA Tour. So it just, you know, I think it really goes to show you, you know, what direction the world is moving in now. And I, like I said, I'm just, you know, honored to be a part of it. It's amazing. And you know, the next APGA Tour event is at Valhalla, you know, the Valhalla.
Wow.
And so, you know, when I started playing the APGA Tour, we were playing Munis. And so now to be playing TPC Las Vegas and TPC, you know, Summerlin and TPC Louisiana, where they just had the Zurich, you know, it just goes to show you how much the game is growing and the good direction golf is headed. And I think that's good for the game.
Well, that's naturally going to get you ready for the PGA Tour if you're playing those championship venues, isn't it? And get you ready
exactly.
for
it. That's what I stress so much. I've had numerous of conversation with, because the PGA Tour just started this whole HBCU college ranking, right? It's black colleges and universities. So they just started that. So and I'm talking to them. I'm talking to Marsha, this lady who's the head of diversity and inclusion for the PGA Tour. And I'm like, you know, that's great. You know, that's great and all. That's great that you guys started that. But HBCU golfers aren't playing the same golf courses as Florida State, as OSU, as all these other golf courses. So when they, okay, you started this ranking, but they're not going to be ready to play out there on the Corn Ferry Tour when they get the chance, or the PGA Tour, or they're not going to be ready. They're just not, because they haven't played those style of golf courses ever in their life.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's like starting something that has the potential, have a really good potential of failing because their kids are not ready. So to see, you know, the PGA Works happen at TPC Sawgrass last week, you know, was amazing to see.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we see that those kids need more of that. They need more of championship style golf courses because, you know, they're, most of them just aren't ready to play on that type of golf course because they've never done it. And so, like I said, it's just good to see that, you know, the golf industry is moving in the right direction to kind of push that and to kind of make golf more inclusive. It's amazing.
Yeah, and a similar thing happens over here in the UK. All of our top amateur events are all played on links. But when you go to the smaller tours, they're all played on hotel resort style courses. So the top amateurs, they don't always tend to do as well as the people who've grew up playing those resort courses because they're used to that style of golf. And again, it's just like a transition, trying to get them ready for that style of play when they come on. Because you go around the links track and level par is a good score. You go around a resort course, 8-9 unders, winning tournaments.
Exactly.
So you know the APGA Tour, does that then feed into like the Corn Ferry? Is that like a third tier, or is it inside the Corn Ferry, or what? What's the
So it's really just to get, you know, us ready to play Corn Ferry, and I think it's to open, you know, eyes to see that, you know, because we played championship style golf courses all year. We played PGA Village. We played TPC Las Vegas. We played TPC Scottsdale. And every winner has been under par. Yeah. So, you know, that just goes to show you, like, you know, that there's players out there that can play. They just need the experience. Talent. They just need the experience, and they need to they need to be able to play week in and week out. And I'm not saying that, you know, there's no white kid going through the same thing, you know, don't have the money or don't have that or don't have this. But I'm just saying that, you know, the history of golf, it's not being very welcome to, you know, the African-American community, because, you know, people, I talk to people in the African-American community about golf all the time. And it's just like talking to literally a 2-year-old, trying to explain to them like what it takes to get on the PGA Tour or like, you know, they're, you know, I had a question asked me last week by a guy, and it was like, what score does it take to win on the PGA Tour? And I'm like, dude, like, what do you, what do you mean? Like, you know, like,
what do you mean
by that? Like, yeah. Like, dude, what week you talking about? You know, sometimes it takes 20 under par, sometimes it takes 8 under par, you know?
Yeah, different courses.
You know, it's different courses, different week, you know, and the thing about it is they watch so much TV golf, and they only see good shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, you know, they, you know, it's just, it's a, it's need more education for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to go back to that question again. So that APJ tour, if you win on that, you don't get no exemption to the Corn Ferry or nothing. That's
completely. Yeah. You're not guaranteed anything, but it could happen. I mean, it could, it very well could, like, you know, it's nothing's guaranteed. It's literally just, you know, it's literally just to put us in position to be successful, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, more companies and CEOs are starting to get involved with the APJ tour. So it's really just to kind of make it easy for us to play golf, get to tournaments. You know, when I first started playing the APJ tour, like, I didn't have money at all. I didn't have any money to play APJ tour, and they would literally, you know, say, Kamaya, we want you to play, so we'll take care of your expenses this week, and, you know, whatever you make, you can put in your pocket. So it's literally just to kind of get us tournament ready and tournament experience.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking is because there's a few new mini tours started in England, like the Clutch Pro Tour by, like, Niall Horan.
Yeah.
The 2020 Pro Tour made by an ex-pro, yeah, Chris Hansen. And they're starting to get, like, joint rights to different things. So if you win on one of them at certain events, then you'll get, like, a European tour start or a challenge tour start. And it's just, I was wondering if the same sort of thing was happening in over there.
Very similar. And I think that's going to start happening. I think it's very, very similar to that. My buddy, I actually got a buddy from the UK, really good friend of mine. He played college golf, University of South Carolina, something. His name's Brandon Robinson Thompson. He's from the Isle of Wight. He plays the Clutch Pro Tour.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Brilliant. So then, what's the future hold for you then, Cammy? Is it just crack on doing what you're doing? You had the Corn Ferry start last week.
Yeah. Just, you know, keep getting better. You know, I learned so much from playing on the PGA Tour this year. It's to keep getting better and to keep grinding. And you never know what's going to happen in this game. You never know where, you know, you get an exemption and you play top 25, play the week, and you play your way onto the Corn Ferry Tour. So it's literally just, you know, golf. You know, look at Will Zalatoris. Look what happened to him. I mean, golf is like that. You see so many guys that do that. Not so many, but, you know, it doesn't. You know, Cameron Young did it last year, and it's just like, you know, it's you never know when your time is going to come in this game. So it's literally just keep grinding and keep playing golf and keep inspiring people and just keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, brilliant. Corey Connors, another as well, Monday qualifier and then wins the tournament. There, that's
in
it.
In the Masters.
Yeah.
That's what you say. That's the quality of the game of golf, isn't it? These opportunities. Yeah. One week you can be playing one tour, the next week you can play in the biggest tour out there.
Right. I mean, that doesn't happen in any other sport. You can't Monday qualify into an NFL game, you know? You can't, you know, and that's why golf is literally the greatest game ever. It's the greatest sport ever because, you know, an amateur golfer could Monday qualify into a Corn Ferry event or a PGA Tour event and play on the PGA Tour. Like, that just, it really is like the greatest game ever played. Like, it just doesn't get any better than golf.
Well, what's funny about that is the Euro Pro Tour, which is the third tier tour over here. They've started doing Monday qualifiers and amateurs can play. And Kev's had a couple of low scores recently and he's fancying his chances. So we'll see how it goes.
Fuck it. you just never know, man.
I'll be on the PJ tour with you next year.
Right, I love it. I love
have to change our name to the Birdie Boys, or the Birdie Boy at least.
So what's the next on this on the roster then for the scheduling wise? Like do farmers pay for the corn ferry now then? Like if you get to make a schedule or what's the crack?
Yeah. So I got a full schedule for the summer. I've actually may get into some corn ferry events, so just looking forward to that. So I got a bunch of state opens, a bunch of mini tour events. I got my next event is the APJ Tour of Valhalla. There's not really anything going on this month that's worth really going to, so I got that, and then I take off. Then the summer is just wide open after that. I got so busy schedule, Monday qualifiers for the PJ Tour and everything like that, so just a really busy schedule, so I'm looking forward to that.
Amazing. Well, we're looking forward to seeing how it goes for you, mate, and as we say, we thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us and talking about the journey and things.
One more
thing. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Do you know when you do a bet over here, you can write on the slip and you can write Johnson, and your odds were obviously more than Dustin Johnson. So I was just trying to give it in to, like, if you actually won or whatever. I'm like, well, I didn't mean DJ. I mean Camu.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And look, we ask all our guests. I know it's far reaching, but we've got a Bogey Boys golf day that we're doing in October in the UK sometime. So I don't know if your schedule reaches over to the UK, but if you're here, you're welcome to join.
I've actually never been, so I mean that's something I can put on my schedule and try to make it.
Yeah.
Well, any time that you are over in the UK, you know, if you like come play challenge or you try and get to the British Open or whatever, we've got loads of courses around here.
I'm actually doing Q School for the challenge tour this year. So
amazing.
Oh, nice.
Hopefully I'll run into you guys and see you. I'll stay in touch for sure.
Oh, yeah, 1,000,000%. We wish you the most luck in the world, man. We love this chat.
We love the chat.
Love the attitude.
And hopefully you guys got some great weather when I'm over there.
Oh, yeah, we will.
All right. Thanks, Cammy. Awesome. Thanks a lot, mate, for your time. And then we'll catch you very soon. You take care and good luck.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
See you, brother. See you later, mate.
Okay, right. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh boy, is he out of sync.